right, here we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray, producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show as we kick off the final work week of April. Today is Monday, April 25th, 2016. Almost said the 24th. I don't know. Maybe I'm still in a weekend mode or something. Hope you had a great weekend. We come to you live from Tucson and Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. We've got all of our podcasts and our complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with our Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30. We have a newsmaker interview with Arizona Board of Regent Rick Myers. That should be an interesting discussion. Followed at 12:45, Judith Blair will be discussing organ donations. She is a tireless advocate for people designating their last wishes to include their organs. It's time for our Monday political face-off featuring commentators. Bob Westerman is here. Bob is former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. And Joe Holt is joining us. Joe is the chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Joe and Bob, how are you two today?
Great, great. Good to be
here. Fantastic.
How was your weekend?
What weekend?
Being the chair of the party right now, and Bob, you can sympathize. You were saying right before we started, you're kind of glad you're not the chair.
Yeah, you know, it has its pros and cons, right?
Wow, it is, yeah, a full-time job, right, Joe?
It is, but, you know, there are so many good people that we can work with, and it's fun. Bill, it's just fun.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. What that means is that Moe makes house calls. So he will take care of all of the framing for you, then actually comes out to the home and make sure everything goes where it should go on the walls. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Arizona Daily Star over the weekend made their endorsement urging readers to vote yes on Prop 123, saying that public education is in crisis in Arizona. Right now, Prop 123 is the only way to make sure more money gets to schools. That's according to the Arizona Daily Star. Joe and Bob, I've been around a long time in this state, almost 30 years, and I have never seen such intense coverage that this proposition is getting from both the Arizona Daily Star, the local publications down here, the media here and up in Phoenix. The Arizona Republic yesterday devoted a huge section of the paper to Prop 123. It's not a surprise, I guess, because, Joe, education, according to all the surveys, is now pretty much the number one priority for voters in this state.
I think you're absolutely right. People are finally engaging, you know, with the idea that we have to support our public school system here in the state, and that there's a direct connection between the quality of education that we offer to all the children in the state and business and our economy. And that's been a little difficult to make, Bill, that connection over the years. But it feels like it's working now. So the engagement, whether you're, you know, yes or no on 123, it's great to see people engaged.
And you are no on 123 or yes?
We are. The county party is definitely a no. Yes.
And
we're the only one, though. We're the only county party on the Democratic side that is no.
Of all the counties?
Yeah, some haven't taken a position and all the others are yes.
Wow. You know, Southern Arizona is fairly, you know, special on their own.
Yes. Way, so, Bob, you're voting yes?
Yes, of course. And, you know, it's 123, as a matter of fact, it's funny you talk about the different partisan lines here. You look across the lines, you got Jeff DeWitt on the Republican line saying no. You
right.
got Fred Duvall on the Democrat saying yes.
But that's
so
surprised,
sure,
I think,
just
a lot of people.
If it's just partisan, mm-hmm. I think people are clearly look at it. And I think there's a lot of, I don't know, it's misunderstanding, but I think there's a lot of parts to the proposition that people can be afraid of. And on the other hand, they definitely, like Joe says, we want to put money in the hands of our schools. So, and this is the fastest and quickest way to do it, which is basically what Fred Duvall said. If you want to get the money to them right now, we could set back and go through the same thing we've been going through the last 3 or 4 years. And when do the kids get the money through all the different partisan politics that have been going on? It takes a long time. Mm-hmm. He thinks is the fastest way to go.
You know, I was listening to one of our shows on the weekend, Robin Hiller's show, The State of Education, Joe and Bob. Mm-hmm. And Robin had a fascinating hour with the head, I believe she's the whole head of the whole state of the League of Women Voters on Saturday. And I didn't realize that, I thought they were usually nonpartisan, but they actually have come out against Prop 123.
Yes.
And they feel... If I can get this kind of right, to summarize it, they just feel that you really can't trust the lawmakers to do what they're saying.
And isn't that unfortunate that we feel that way, or that we have to say those things? And, you know, they really still are nonpartisan, because mm-hmm. just like what Bob was saying, this is a mix here, right? So
indeed.
We have Democrats disagreeing with one another, and we have Republicans disagreeing with one another. You know, the thing is that I don't think that there's any surety to having money, even if Prop 123 passes. And I think that's part of the divide there is the lack of trust. We've followed the shell game too long in Phoenix, right? So, okay, we'll give you $3.5 billion for the next 10 years over on this side, but over here we're going to be taking away DSEG money and we're going to be moving more money to vouchers, you know, that type of thing. And over time, you build up a loss of trust.
Well, that's kind of a... They don't know for sure they're going to do that, but that's what they suspect. And that's part of the trust thing I think you're talking about.
Yes,
Joe,
it is.
That,
yeah.
You know, that are they going to use this as a reason to go back and not do the things you want to do in that respect? Mm-hmm. But again, going, you know, it's something that I think needs to be done now. I think that the money is there. It has been there for K-12 primarily. 82% of the fund is dedicated to K-12. And a lot of concern as well, we want to save our kids' inheritance. Well, there are kids here now. What about their inheritance? What about their, they have rights to this fund to help them out as well as the future ones do. So it's a balancing act. And I think this is always going to be a balancing act. I think, Joe, you mentioned about business and education being tied in. Of course, there's a lot of other, variables besides education. But we all agree. I think that has to be taken care of. But the balance is we want Arizona to grow. We want this economy to grow. More growth, higher paying jobs. We all want that. To do that and keep the tax rate the right place to attract the right business to get there, you kind of have to do that. But I'm with the education people. I think that education definitely needs to be part of that package. So how do you balance that? And I think this is one of Doug's ideas by tapping into the trust funds to help them along that way and maybe still try to attract business into Arizona.
You know, the problem that I have with, well, it's a multi-pronged problem, but we have the surplus. We could just, why don't they write a check? You don't have to have any fancy schmancy 123 with all the complexities and the triggers and the other things that kind of look like you're trying to add new tools to your toolbox for the future for not funding public education, the public schools. And that's the feeling, is that if you want to do this, at least show us the budget. Where's the money for education? And the court found that you failed to obey the law. You owe this much money. Write a check.
No. Yeah, you got to look at your bank balance before you write the check, of course. And that's one of the things you got to do about a budget, is you got to make sure the money's there to pay that check. Right now, if you write a check for that, Joe, they'd be, you know, bouncing the check. So even with that overdraft, I mean that, I'm sorry, even with that excess money we have now, surplus, I don't think it would cover the one.
You know, what bothers a lot of people, and I'm concerned about this too, that this was a voter initiative that goes back to 2001, I think it was, and I don't recall the exact name of that proposition. I want to say 301. But
you're right.
301.
It's 301.
Okay. 301. that I think people that are looking at that are worried that that if we say yes to this, what is the assurance that we're going to, that the lawmakers will make good on this?
Yeah, there's definitely concern with regards to the Voter Protection Act, essentially, and the looking at this as whether intentioned or not, it ends up being an end run around another voter initiative, right? And then you look at the legislature and you see committees where they're discussing actually passing a law that allows the legislature to vote to override, voter initiatives.
That's under in this legislative session they're considering.
That's
that.
Right. Yeah, and you put those things together and you think, well, you know, I understand that they want the power and they want the control. That would happen with either party.
It's interesting. You know, we could have a discussion about surplus alone, for that matter, for what it can go to. I mean, even a lot of the Republicans up in Phoenix are talking about JTED and other uses for this money and Children's Protective Services. There's other places surplus go to. So it's, I think there's a lot of discussion, debate to be had about how to handle that surplus.
I'm sorry. You know, the other thing that we don't hear any discussion about at all is, I don't know, all the tax cuts and the imbalance in the income tax code in Arizona and all that revenue that we're missing out on if people just paid, you know, more of a fair distribution of taxes. So for some reason, Bob, taxes are off. They're off the books. We cannot even talk about restructuring.
Yeah, you know, it's, again, that goes back to that balancing act. I think the idea of cutting taxes in Arizona, especially for business, is there primarily to draw in more business and get higher paying jobs. And if you do that, you can grow the economy. If you tax the economy to the point where you cannot grow the economy, you're going to be in a, it's just going to spiral down instead of growing. So there's a balance there, Joe. I'm not saying that you need to cut all taxes and bring business and give them free ride. On the other hand, there's got to be some kind of a balance where we can attract business and especially higher paying jobs in Arizona. We need better jobs and more of them in Arizona.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:17 on the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. 790-2040. We'd like to hear from you. What are you going to be doing about Prop 123? You're voting yes or no? Love to hear from you, and perhaps you could give us your reasons why you are going one way or the other. We'll be right back.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. 12:22 on a very windy, I can't say blustery because it's very warm out there, but the red flags are up and like 40 mile an hour winds, so be careful out there. Bob Westerman is here and Joe Holt is to the left of me. Joe is the Democratic Party chairman for Pima County, and Bob Westerman was the former chair of the Republican Party here in Pima County. He also ran for Congress in California. I want to say Southern California.
That'd be right.
Why do I want to say something like Cucamonga or something?
Yeah, well, you'd be right. That'd be District 42, correct.
Yes. I do recall that from a conversation with you. Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Cucamonga got sucked into Rancho Cucamonga.
And then you ran for state legislature as
for
well.
For Senate here in LE 27.
Well, congratulations for being engaged, right, Joe?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Joe knows what we're doing.
And
here.
Joe ran as well twice for the Arizona legislature. So both of you have gotten engaged in the system. All right, getting back to Prop 123. You know, Joe Holt, I think that if this thing were to pass, there will be some that will say, well, look, the legislature is now taking care of education in this state.
And they would be so, so wrong. And even the proponents of 123 are trying to make that point, too. And they like to call 123 the first step. To me, it's a step backwards. But also, if you go along with that it's the first step, then what is the second step and what is the third step? So you know, we'll still be, I mean, depending on, you know, which poll you look at, we're either 49th or 50th or whatever in funding, you know, for our public schools. We still will be right down at the bottom there, even if 123 passes.
Yeah, so what Fred said, it's the first step. But, you know, again, everything starts with a first step. You got to take that step. Right now, if we don't, and that is part of Fred's argument for it, is that nobody's taking any step at all. And so if you look at status quo, where we're going, they're not going anywhere very fast. And the first step at least gets some money on the table and gets some money out to the kids. Now, you're right. As we watch, as it passes, there's a whole lot of complicated mechanisms that go on with this proposition. But you know, it is a good first step.
It, from a practical point of view, it just seems like we should write a check. And I know, Bob, you said that we couldn't write a check for the whole thing, whatever, how many billion dollars, right, that the court said. Was it 3-point-something billion?
3.5 billion over 10 years.
But why not just write it like a payment system? Write a check for what?
Absolutely.
Take some money out of
the rainy day. I don't know if we have the credit yet in Arizona. We'd have to work on that.
I have an idea. Why don't we stop sending millions of dollars to vouchers for private schools? And use that money instead.
Oh, you would say that. Pay them. Absolutely. But I tell you, there's a lot of people out there who probably disagree pretty strongly about that, Joe. And the private schools is, people want a choice of education where to send their kids. And let's face it, you're at TUSD or some of the school districts, you want your kids to get better education, you should be free to go do that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I agree with you. It's just that the vouchers that the state provides don't cover the cost of tuition at private schools. So what they're really doing is they're helping the folks who can already afford private school tuition. They're cutting their expenses, once again, helping those at the top of the income ladder and doing real damage to our public schools that don't even have money for capital.
Of course, when you give them the vouchers, they're still paying taxes for the public schools in addition to getting that voucher and making up the difference, whatever it happens to be. That's not necessarily, it's not really a plus thing for parents who are trying to put their kids through private school. It still costs them money.
All right, let's go to the live line. I believe Robert has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Robert, how are you today?
Hey, Bill. To your guest, to what extent can you guarantee that Proposition 123 will trickle down to increase teacher salaries? Because that's the only empirical way of knowing whether that money was spent wisely or it was just swept, like HERF funds and anything else the state legislature has, or the 1010 building. Okay. So tell me how much of that money will go into the teachers' pockets.
The money is being distributed directly to the districts, okay? So it's up to them to decide how to use that money. So for me to tell you how much money is going to end up in the teachers' pockets is going to depend on how that district decides to use that money.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. In other words, there's absolutely no guarantee that it will go to increase teacher salaries.
You've got to look at who you have, who you elected on school boards. They're going to the ones that are going to make that decision and put the money in the right place. So that's, you really need to spend some, look at who you have elected and talk to them.
How about inflation losses? How are we going to account for that?
Inflation losses in the case of this proposition kind of goes two different ways. I mean, you can look at inflation losses that if inflation takes place in over the outgoing years, spending the money now gets you more for your buck. And that's a good thing if you want to spend it now. But it can also have effect on the rates that they're projecting. It could reduce the rates. But if inflation hits, it's going to hit, not just the proposition, it's going to hit us in other areas too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, statewide.
Yeah.
The whole idea of this 123, I think, has almost become like a test for some are saying, I know those that don't like Governor Ducey are kind of saying, well, maybe it's like a test of his popularity to vote it down. Yeah,
that probably influences some people, but there are so many other things that cause concerns with 123, and it wasn't just Governor Ducey at the table either, right? So, although I don't believe there was a single Democrat at the table, so there's nothing bipartisan about this, unlike 124, which actually had input from all sides.
The pension plan.
Yes.
Right. Now, that has just gotten lost in this whole discussion,
yes,
Prop 124, and about pensions.
Yeah, there was an article about that in the paper I think a couple of days ago saying don't forget 124.
And I think that has gotten virtually no publicity, but it has to do with firefighters and pension, correct?
It's the state
and
pension
police.
System.
And state police. Yeah. Let's see if we can work one more caller in. Dan called us at 790-2040. Hey, Dan.
Hi. Thank you for the show. I have a few teachers working for me and my grandchildren. Some of them go to private school. The reason the teachers tell me that they're leaving TUSD is not because of the money, because they take a pay cut when they go to a private school. They're leaving because there's no discipline in the school, and the teachers sometimes are even fearsome in their own classroom and walking to their cars.
Security issues, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're touching on the complexity of the education problem, because it goes back to how parents are raising the kids and how they hold them accountable. And when parents are engaged, and the kids do better, there's no doubt about it. If they're not engaged, I think in the private schools a lot, and some of the charter schools, you may find parents way more engaged and their kids do better. That's just a factor that needs to be looked at as far as improving education.
Yeah, I think the studies have shown that the number one problem in teacher retention isn't salary. It's respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's working conditions, respect, the idea that you're getting a response, you know, to your concerns as a teacher. And I don't know when this changed. When I was growing up, which wasn't all that long ago, mm-hmm. right? You know, teachers were
highly
were
respected.
Revered.
Yeah. They were respected.
And they were respected.
And on top of that, Joe, the administration backed them up.
Yep.
And you don't get that feeling today that the administration would back up a teacher just having trouble with the kids.
All right. Bob Westerman, Joe Holt, thank you both for helping us kick off this Monday. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks, Bob.
You betcha.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course they're on Facebook. Check out Moe. He does all of my framing, and been going to him for years. I highly recommend Moe and his team at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog, Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Amma Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, we'll talk about the centennial of the National Park Service. Jim Cook will be here. Jim heads up the Western National Parks Association, plus our arts report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. It's all happening noon to 1 on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And then on my website, there's live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Hope you were able to get out this weekend, do some gardening, get over to Green Things just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com for their website. But more importantly, get over there, check it out. They have a huge selection on 13 acres, and my roses that I bought recently a couple of weeks ago, man, beautiful, beautiful. Red roses are in bloom. Well, several hundred University of Arizona supporters, including faculty members, students, donors, and nearly two dozen state lawmakers, have criticized Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, UA president's decision to join the board of DeVry, which is being sued by the Federal Trade Commission. That's the DeVry Education Group. DeVry is sued by the FTC over claims the school routinely deceives students about their post-graduation job prospects. The firm denies any wrongdoing, and Dr. Hart, who joined the DeVry board in February, said she vetted the firm thoroughly and believes it's on solid footing. Let's welcome now one of the members. He represents Tucson on the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees our three universities. Rick Myers with us on the live line, just back from China. Are you still jet lagged?
No, I'm good today.
You're good to go? Good. I know you're very concerned with this whole matter with Dr. Hart, and she's scheduled to be my guest for a half hour this week on Wednesday to clarify her position. But I know you're concerned about it, Rick, aren't you?
Well, you know, what I'm concerned about is that Arizona has the best possible future, and our universities are absolutely a key tool in making that happen. I've told Dr. Hart, and it's public record, that this choice of joining the DeVry board is not one that I would have made. But I respect the fact that she is working within the current policy of the Board of Regents. And I also understand, and she understands, that her contract says that the most important thing in her life is the success of University of Arizona, and that it comes first beyond any other activity she's involved in. So I have confidence that Dr. Hart has been doing many very exciting, important things at the university, and she'll continue to do that.
I know you do want a review, though, don't you, Mr. Myers, of the policy that allows the university presidents to engage in outside work without seeking board permission?
Yeah, I've talked to the other regents about that policy has been in place for a long time, and I think it's worth us looking at that policy. You know, getting involved in outside activities, I mean, all of us in life do that, and I think it's important to us as individuals. It gives us enhanced experiences, and it gives us a chance to use our skills and help others. You know, DeVry, someone might argue, is something maybe a little too close to home, and given that it has an FTC investigation right now, it obviously does put some question on the table. But again, I strongly support Dr. Hart as the president and what she's doing at U of A. And I trust that she will work through this in a good way and that she'll continue to take the action she needs to keep U of A the great university to be.
And you were instrumental, actually, in bringing Dr. Hart here. You were one of the key players bringing...
Senator DeConcini and I led the search. And again, you look at the deal with Banner, that's a long-term deal to bring revenue and bring clinical expertise to our hospital and improve our research in health sciences. The new accounting systems that she's put in place across the university, the new deans that have come in, the whole strategic plan that wasn't in place before that now is in place and is being implemented. I mean, I think the regents feel very good that the University of Arizona is absolutely on the right track. So again, while I may have some personal concerns with this decision, I think we need to be careful to keep things in perspective of what Dr. Hart's accomplishing overall and her maniacal focus on keeping U of A great university versus this decision to join this one board.
It is a distraction, though. You would have to admit that.
Well, in the short term, it certainly is. And I respect you and others who, you know, brought the questions up, and you know, I look forward to Anne talking to you this week.
But it
has been certainly. I've had a lot of legislators call me, and others in the community call me, and I've tried to reassure them that the regents and Dr. Hart understand that the first priority is always the U of A.
How about
and
to
that?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to change subjects here real quickly. The tuition increase. How does it look?
The regents approved the tuition increase. Both U of A and NAU have pledge programs in place, so the students that pay the new tuition, it was a 3% increase, roughly, are guaranteed that tuition level for the 4 years, so they know they won't have any further increases if they get their degree in 4 years. So, I think it's a good deal. We were cut $100 million by the state last year. We'll see what we end up getting as the budget, comes to pass. The governor had recommended restoring $8 million of the $100 million cut. Right now, about 32% of the in-state students' tuition is covered by the state. The rest comes out of the students and their families' pocket. So, we've said as a Board of Regents, we'd like to get that back up to about 50% paid by the state and 50% paid by the students and their families. And that will take restoring some of the cuts that we've had the last few years.
So have you had any inkling on how this budget package, which is still being worked out, any suspicions on how it may be going, Rick Myers?
Yeah, I mean, we've had very good support mm-hmm. from the governor's office and key leadership in the legislature to do better than what the governor had first recommended. And, we have high hopes that will come to pass. I don't want to state any numbers because I know we're in the middle of, negotiations on that with the legislature. But I feel good that the legislature is trying to do the best they can to support our students in higher education. This isn't really, we always talk about supporting the universities, but the money from the general fund that goes to the universities is directly there to support the education of our in-state students. So it's really how much the state can do to invest in its in-state students.
Well, and of course, we want to keep our kids here, too. We want to hopefully they'll graduate from the University of Arizona or NAU or ASU, and they'll find a job here. Right, Rick Myers?
No, absolutely. And, you mentioned the China trip.
I was
one of the places I was near Shanghai. I visited Zhejiang University, which is similar in size to University of Arizona. They have a new innovation city that the government is building there. They're going to show it to President Obama when he's over for the G20 summit in September. But right now they have 1,000 startup companies being incubated in that center. And the whole idea is to build an entrepreneurial culture to get more started and have jobs for all their graduates and to build the economy of the province and of the country. So clearly they're doing what we need to continue to do, and we need to actually put more emphasis.
Oh, you were over in China as part of your new position, correct? You're heading up a high-tech company here in town?
Yeah, no, I'm CEO of an early-stage company. We're a supplier to the automotive sector, and I was over there for that. But since I was over there, I took a few side trips to help our university at my own expense. So.
All right.
It's always fun to support the universities.
All right, Rick Myers, we'll let you go. Thank you very much, and glad you're back safe and sound. And we appreciate you talking with us on this Monday afternoon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Rick Myers is the regent who represents Tucson on the Arizona Border Regents, which oversees and is charged with looking after our three state universities here in the Grand Canyon State. Coming up on 12:45, organ donation advocate Judith Blair feels very passionate about getting you to make sure your last wishes include saving a life. We'll talk to Judith right after this. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Don't Miss Business event of the season is here. The 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards are May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort at 5:30 p.m. Join us for a celebration of the long history of Better Business Bureau in Southern Arizona as we honor this year's winners for their work in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. This spectacular dinner event is selling fast. Don't delay. Reserve your spot today and register at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Memorial Day weekend is quickly approaching. 21st Annual Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival, May 27th through the 29th. It's only 3 hours over to Silver City. This turned out to be one of the big blues festivals in our country. And guess what? It's free. Taj Mahal Trio will be the headliner, along with Dirty Dozen Brass Band. So check it out. Free event, Silver City, great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins. The full listing of places to stay and the many things to do in that great part of the Southwest is at southwestnewmexico.org. 123,000 Americans, 2,300 of them right here in Arizona need a life-saving organ transplant. Because of a shortage of donors, 21 people die each day while waiting for the gift of life. April is National Donate Life Month. One of the nation's top spokespeople on behalf of organ donations is Tucson's Judith Blair. Judith is a senior Olympian. In 2001, she donated one of her kidneys to a University of Arizona professor suffering from lupus and kidney disease. Judith is the mother of the famous UA basketball star and now professional basketball coach, Joseph Blair, and she is a very tireless promoter of organ donation and that whole cause. And Judith, good to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And thank you for the opportunity.
Well, it's my pleasure. You're personalized license plate even gets into this area, right?
It does.
Give kidney, it basically translates it's to, or gave kidney.
GV, you can read it either way.
You can read it either way.
Each is appropriate.
I like it. Yeah, GVKDNY. So give and gave, in your case, and you're giving your time by really speaking out for organ donations. Very few people still, I know I have it on my driver's license. I want to help other people when I'm gone, but very few people still, percentage-wise, do that.
It's on the increase,
good.
And I think it's over 2 million in Arizona now. One of the situations being that the organs, unless you pass in a facility where you're on a ventilator, perhaps the organs can't get to someone soon enough, even though you have signed up for an organ donation. So that's why we encourage more to do that. And prior to my donation, when I speak to groups, I think I say I was part of the naive status quo. I had no idea so many thousands of people, just as you have listed, mm-hmm. were dying just waiting for a phone call. And yet we are burying and cremating organs that could be saving lives.
Right. And what is the hesitation on people? Is it what's it border on? Is it religious beliefs, or what is it that keeps people from?
No, it's accepted by most all religions.
Yeah.
It's lack of knowledge. That's why I'm out here
yeah.
trying to promote it and let people know of the tremendous need. And I find there's givers and there's takers. And most givers are compassionate people. And if they have the facts on it and know more about it, are apt to sign up for it.
The body can be harvested in a many, many ways, right? I mean, the organs
right.
can be, there's the eyes, there's all sort of tissue.
Right.
Yeah.
The corneas.
Corneas.
And the tissues. And then one body can save 8 lives with life-saving organs, from the heart to the lungs to the kidneys to the pancreas to the liver. So it can make a big difference, a life-saving difference in people's lives.
In your own case, what was that decision like in 2001?
Mine was very easy because I'll give you some background. In mm-hmm. Houston, prior to moving here, At a Wednesday night Bible study, the minister asked for prayer for a parishioner who needed a kidney. Mm-hmm. Well, we had prayer for her, but I thought, you know, there's 50 kidneys here. Why isn't somebody stepping up? And I didn't know her, or perhaps I would have done so at the time, but it was on the back burner of my heart. When I moved here, I had the business card of Dr. Burgoon, to whom I eventually donated, stopped by just to say hello and was aghast at his appearance. He had had lupus for over 20 years. For me, it was, I just perceived a mandate from God to do that. It was never a sacrifice. There was never any fear, any anxiety. And prior to the donation, I was power walking 5 miles every day and drinking a gallon of water. And then when the kidney was donated, it set a record there at Mayo for processing the most fluid of any that they had had at that point.
Are you kidding? My goodness.
And I was number 32 at Mayo back in 2001. Last year, they hit 2,200. So that's how many kidneys have been transplanted.
And it certainly hasn't slowed you down. My goodness, you're 68 years old. I'm sorry if I
Correct.
Gave your age, but you
that's
look
well known, I think.
All right, you look fantastic, Judith, and you've competed and at a very high level in the Senior Olympics, and you've won gold medals, and now you're involved with another athletic competition.
The
right?
National Transplant Games.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it was less than 90 days after I donated the kidney. I ran the 50, 100 and 200 meter sprints in Senior Olympics, was so excited to hear about the National Transplant Games, and then was so frustrated to hear it was only for recipients until 2014. And I went to Houston, ran the 100 in 19 seconds and got silver in the 200. And we'll be going to Cleveland, Ohio this June to run those same races. And also, I've written a song called The Gift of Life that I've submitted to the Lyrics for Life contest, and I'm one of 16 semifinalists that will be appearing there and singing that.
How important is your faith through this whole process?
That's the core. That's my core. The most commonly asked question is, do you feel any differently? Mm-hmm. And initially, I said no differently at all, and then I qualified that answer. Physically, I don't feel any differently. But spiritually, mentally, there's an insurmountable blessing and
joy.
From having joy, from having given. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe it's in giving that you receive.
Mm-hmm. So the Lord was very much with you through this whole process.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So getting back now to some of the misconceptions about organ donation, I'm sure when you speak, people have a lot of them, don't they?
A lot of myths.
Yeah, you want to go
myths
through
is
some
that,
of those for us?
One of the myths is if you are in an emergency situation or in the hospital, that the doctors won't do their very best to keep you alive.
They may cut a few corners.
Right, and that's not the case at all. Not the case at all. And the other thing you already mentioned is religion, and most all major religions go along with the organ donation. I'm not only promoting organ donation, but I'm promoting good health to keep yourself as healthy as possible. Get out and walk. Watch what you eat. The two main causes of kidney disease are uncontrolled high blood pressure and diabetes. And some of that can be controlled by what we do for our bodies. Mm-hmm. So I encourage remaining active and living a healthy lifestyle, so nobody has to, or you're not in a position where you need, you know, a life-saving organ.
Do you work out every day?
Every day.
And what do you do? What's your routine like?
My
Judith?
Main one now, since I am 68, and I've had two torn meniscus, one on left knee, one on the right knee years ago. I do more swimming. I do, the occasional running and more power walking.
You do some weights too?
Yes,
yeah.
And curls on my legs to keep those going. But yeah, uh-huh. But and it becomes a habit. I mean, you either have good habits or bad habits, and I've tried my best to do good habits. But the other, going back to the spiritual perspective,
yes.
I believe our bodies are temples of God,
mm-hmm.
and should be treated as such.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my other paradigm.
And you know, you mentioned diabetes. We did a whole half hour with Dr. Mazes of the Center for Integrative Medicine mm-hmm. last week, talking about really interesting half hour about this epidemic proportions now that especially older people are pre-diabetic. And it's just the exercise and diet can play a huge role.
Older people, but what's astonishing is young people,
People, too, from the diet of junk food,
right?
Not good.
Since this article came out in Loving Life After 50.
And you're on the cover of that, Loving Life After 50. It's a great article.
A personal trainer told me that two parents have brought in two 14-year-olds who are now diabetic, who are obese, and for personal training.
Wow.
But kudos to that newspaper for promoting, I desire to promote each April or when I can, but the circulation on that was 21,000, and it's just such a blessing that they did a really good article with statistics, and that can be obtained free at most all Walgreens and your local libraries.
And I think Lee Allen did that article.
Yes, he
didn't
did.
Lee, I worked with Lee a while when I was over at Arizona Public Media. We were there together. Anyway, he did a great job, and you're on the cover, and deservedly so. And for more information, where do people go about organ donation?
To donate, donatelifeaz.org.
Donatelifeaz.org. Judith, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Judith Blair, a health hero, certainly, here in our town. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw, Ray Allen, the two of them, they put on a good show every afternoon, 4 to 5. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. It'll be Tuesday, ready to do it at 12:04. Until then, Ray and I do wish you all the very best. And I hope it's a good afternoon and a nice evening. And try to not let the wind get you down. We'll be right back.